This morning, in connection with Lord's Day 21, question 55 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we will read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the Word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink one into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care, one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that's the way of love. On the basis of that passage, and the whole of Scripture, we consider question 55 of Lord's Day 21. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of the other members. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in confessing the truth concerning the communion of the saints, we are once again recognizing and honoring the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, who is the one who applies salvation to the elect of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, remember, is not only the Spirit of regeneration, whereby He gives new life to the dead sinner, makes a dead sinner alive unto Christ, but He's the Spirit, remember, who by that work of regeneration builds the church. He builds the body of Christ. He's the head, and He unites the members of the church to Christ the head, and then to one another in the body. That means that the Holy Spirit is the creator of the communion of the saints, and He is the power by which the members of the church enjoy the communion of the saints. To deny the importance of the communion of the saints, to deny that it is important that the members of the church love each other, that means is to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not gather together the members of the church as so many individuals, but He gathers them in such a way that He unites them together. That's clear from the figure of the body that is so prominent here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The members then ought to work together and care for one another. The Spirit of Jesus Christ says it must be so. And you can use also the figure of a building. What is the wonder of the churches building the church? The wonder is this, that He takes people who are unfit, lumps of coal, whatever you want to call them, and He transforms them, He works on them, He shapes them, He makes into them bricks or stones fit for the temple. And now the figure is not this, a pile of individual bricks, but the figure is a building with all of the bricks fit together in oneness and fellowship with each other. Or you think of the figure of the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. The members of the church are not so many sticks gathered together by the Spirit and heaped upon a pile. But the members of the church are united to the vine in living communion with the vine and with each other. This is the Holy Spirit's work. Now the truth of the church that we considered in question and answer 54, and the truth of the communion of the saints, then we need to see is in very close connection, these two truths with each other, and that in the Apostles' Creed, where we confess in Holy Catholic Church the communion of the saints, we need to see that the communion of the saints stands in apposition to the Holy Catholic Church. Not opposition, but apposition. What that means is that when the Apostles' Creed says we believe the communion of the saints, the Apostles' Creed is simply renaming and then describing further what the church is. This is another name for the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints. And this describes what the church is. She is the communion of the saints. The Holy Catholic Church is not the same thing as the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Catholic Church is not the same thing as the forgiveness of sins or the resurrection of the body or life everlasting. But this is the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints. What that means is that if you are a living member of the Church of Jesus Christ, you are a living, active part of the communion of the saints. And it means that wherever the true church is on the earth, there you find the communion of the saints. And it means that any church that claims to be the church where the communion of the saints is not found, that's not the church of Jesus Christ built by His Holy Spirit. If there is no communion of saints, then there is no church. That means that if faith congregation is and wants to show she is a true church of Jesus Christ created by His Spirit, then the communion of the saints must flourish in this congregation. Let's consider this morning the oneness or the communion of the saints, and I've decided we're going to consider two points. The two points that we have here in this question and answer. First, let's consider the fact or the meaning of the communion of the saints, and then secondly, the calling or the duty of the communion of the saints. The communion of the saints is this. The holy life of family friendship that the saints enjoy with Christ first of all, and then in Christ with each other. That's what we mean by the communion of the saints. The holy life of family fellowship and friendship with Christ first of all, and then with one another in Jesus Christ. The communion of the saints is first of all communion with Christ. We can see that in the doctrine of the church. Now remember back to question and answer 54. What is the church? The church is the institution or the body that the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world gathers, defends, and preserves to Himself. The meaning is this. The Catechism is going to go on to say He gathers this church out of the whole human race, out of the world. Okay, Jesus Christ gathers the church out of the world, but where does He bring the church and her members? And the answer is to Himself. That's the church. Those people that Jesus has taken out of the world and united to Himself, made part of His family, the family of God. So that here now is what the church is. That all and everyone who believes being members of Christ are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. So the communion of the saints is this. Enjoyment of life and friendship with Jesus Christ. To be able to say as a believer, He's my elder brother. And for His sake, God is my Father. Or to put it another way, the communion of saints is about living with Jesus Christ in His service. What's a saint? A holy one. That's literally what the original German of the Catechism says when it refers to the members of the church. They're holy ones. And that's literally what the English word saint means. Holy one. And what's a holy one in the church? One who says, I'm a friend of Christ and therefore I'm not a friend of sin. I'm a friend of Christ and of God, His Father, and therefore I'm not a friend of the world. I don't serve other men. And I don't serve myself. That's not what church membership is. But I have one head, one master, one Lord, Jesus Christ. And this is how I enjoy friendship with Him. I serve Him. I keep myself holy and keep His commandments. Do the other members of the church serve each other? Of course, we're going to see that this morning they do. But they serve each other as they serve Jesus Christ. Even in serving one another, there cannot be and may not be any selfish motivations. I'm serving my Lord Jesus Christ. Then, in that living relationship with Jesus Christ, there is holy communion and fellowship with the other members of the saints. The truth of the communion of the saints teaches us, and this is very clearly taught here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the other members of the church are our spiritual family, our spiritual friends. The other members of the church love each other. They care about each other. And as 1 Corinthians 12 makes clear, the other members of the church view each other so much so as part of the same body and the same family that no member of the church says when another member of the church is suffering, "Well, that's not me. That's his suffering or her suffering." No. We're so part of one body that when another member of the body suffers, I say, "That's me. My body that is suffering." And then when another member of the church rejoices and experiences prosperity, I say, "That's my body." I'm not jealous or envious that the other member of the body is prospering, but I'm happy for that other member of the same body as me. Now that friendship, once again, is a holy friendship. This is the communion of the saints, holy ones who are partakers of Christ and His righteousness and holiness. And this is what unites the saints together. Oneness in Christ, in the truth, of course, but now in holiness according to the truth. This is why the members of the church do not have fellowship with unbelievers. Because they do not share with them the truth in Jesus Christ, but they also do not share with them in the way of holiness. The members of the church do not go out and say, "I am going to make friends with an unbeliever," because, after all, we have other common interests with each other. I'll go to the ball game regularly with an unbeliever because he roots for the same team. I'll have coffee with that unbeliever because she has the same hobbies and interests as me. No. Saints don't have any desire to be with those who in their conversation and who in their walk blaspheme God and express hatred for Jesus Christ. Saints say, "My love for Jesus Christ means I can't tolerate. I can show love and concern for the salvation of an unbeliever, but I can't tolerate close friendship and fellowship." But the communion of the saints means that when saints recognize other saints, they embrace each other, even despite all the other differences they might see. I love to see that in the church, and I'm sure that you do too, on the Lord's Day, but also in other gatherings at other times. Men in the church, with different occupations. One man might work with his hands, doing physical labor. Another man might not have any gift when it comes to working with his hands. He works sitting in a chair, maybe behind a computer screen. And the man who works with his hands can't imagine spending every day the way that that man spends his time. They're very different from each other, and yet these two men in the church enjoy each other's company and friendship. And then you see that among the women too. Women of different ages, women of different gifts, women of different interests in the church, seeing this is our common bond. Our love for and our life in which we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this extends to the children in the church too. They are saints. They are holy ones. They also are baptized into Jesus Christ, not by water now, but by the Holy Spirit. Where the church is, you will find children who are members of the church and who love the Lord. Those children who are saints, will desire the communion and the friendship of others who are saints. Not only of their own age, those who are older too, but then when they're looking for friends who are of their own age, children who are saints are not going to say, who is the one who is popular? Who is the one who has the right clothing? Who is the one who's rich? Certainly the children who are saints are not going to be attracted to those who are mischievous and rebellious and say, that will be my friend because that looks like fun. No, the children who are saints, who have a love for Jesus Christ, are going to say, this is who I want to be as my friends. Those who love the Lord. And you know what? It doesn't matter if they don't have the right clothing. It doesn't matter if they are not very popular. It doesn't matter if they're rather quirky and other people think that that person is weird. That other member of the body of Christ is going to be treated by me as my friend. That's the communion of the saints. Holy friendship with fellow saints, created, and we need to take note of that this morning, by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 makes that point very plainly here throughout the chapter, beginning already in the first three verses of the chapter. There the apostle is speaking to Gentile Christians and saying, you aren't members of the church. You are worshipers of idols. Now you are members of the church and you confess Jesus as the Christ. What made the difference? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has changed you, transformed you from idol worshipers to worshipers of Jesus Christ. And then he emphasizes that the Spirit is the one who has brought you together in Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And the apostle's point is, this is what the Spirit has created now. A situation where there's not a difference between Jew and Gentile. A situation where the Jews and the Gentiles are one body in Jesus Christ. He's made you one. And he emphasizes in verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And then also in verse 24, but God hath tempered the body together. And the point is this. No man builds the church. No man determines this is what the church is going to be. No man has the right to determine how the members of the church are going to react to each other and behave towards each other. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through the apostle, reveals this is His will for the church. That the members of the church make up one body in which there is holy communion and friendship. Because this is the work of the Spirit, a sovereign, almighty work of the Spirit. The members of the church don't have any choice here. Jesus Christ doesn't say to Faith Congregation this morning, is this the kind of church that you want to be? Do you want to be a holy church? Do you want to be the kind of church where the members fight against and hate sin? Do you want to be the kind of church that serves Jesus Christ? Do you want to be the kind of church where the other members love and care for each other? Or do you want to be the kind of church that tolerates unholiness? Well, there are churches that do that. We know that today. Churches that tolerate divorce for any reason. Churches that are beginning to tolerate homosexuality and other sexual sins. Churches that are beginning to tolerate loose observance and really disobedience to the fourth commandment when it comes to Sabbath observance. Those churches cannot say that they are churches of Jesus Christ created by the Holy Spirit of Christ. There are churches, too, where there is much fighting and division, where the members do not care for one another. And, of course, there is a danger that also, that even in our Protestant Reformed churches, we say this is the important thing. The truth, unity in doctrine, and then how we behave towards one another, that's not important. That's not the attitude of Jesus Christ, and that's not the attitude of His Spirit. In a church where there is strife and division, the question may be asked, is this the church of Jesus Christ, and is His Spirit here? Because if Jesus' Spirit is at work here, the members will love each other and have holy communion and friendship with each other. Where the Spirit is at work, you will find holiness, a desire to serve Christ, and to live with the other members in friendship and fellowship. So much is this true that we might almost ask the question, is it even necessary to speak of the duty of the communion of the saints? And command the members of the church to live in the communion of the saints. After all, this is the sovereign, almighty work of the Spirit. But then we need to remember this morning that the members of the church, although they are not servants to sin, they are servants to Christ, and although they have their righteousness and the forgiveness of sins in Christ, still have their sinful natures. And it's appropriate for us to be admonished for our sins with regard to the communion of the saints. We have sins. We don't walk in holiness as we ought to. We don't love the other members as we ought to. It's also appropriate for us to be encouraged by the Word of God. Grow in this. Strive to grow in the communion of the saints. And here's the thing, the Holy Spirit, who is the builder of the church, who's the creator of the communion of the saints too, uses this word. He uses the preaching of the word so that the saints who hear it confess their sins and desire to grow in their love for the church. Oh, there may be some here this morning. Thank God, I don't know who they are and neither do you. Who don't have the work of the Spirit in their hearts, who are unregenerate, who won't hear the Word, who in their stubbornness will rebel against this Word, will continue to be proud and selfish, and instead of seeking the communion of the saints, will cause division and strife. But the Spirit comes to those who are saints, in whom He works by His almighty power. And they hear the preaching. And they hear the elders. And I hope that the elders have done this and will do this every single year in family visitation. They come to the saints. And they admonish where they need to admonish. They encourage where they need to encourage. Be active in the communion of the saints. Love the church of Jesus Christ. And the saints hear that. The Spirit who creates the church makes us active And He gives us the gifts to be active. And we need to say a word this morning about the gifts that the Spirit gives to the members of the church. We need to see this morning that the Holy Spirit determines the place that every member in the church occupies and the gifts that every member in the church possesses. Now we need to know this morning that there are some gifts that all of the members of the church share and have in common with each other. We need to know that so that we will value our church membership and see it for the privilege that it is, so that we won't be discouraged when we see God has given someone else a place in the church He hasn't given me, and He's given another man or another woman gifts that He hasn't given to me, and that discourages me. In answer to that, the apostle reminds us of what we have in common here in verses 4 through 6. Notice this. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Don't ever think God loves me less because He hasn't given me that place or those gifts. But think this way. God loves me the same because He gave me the same Spirit, the same Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He's my God and Father. He includes me in the same relationship of covenant and friendship. Oh, don't focus on the fact that you're not the eye or you're not the ear. You're only the toe, or maybe the armpit in the church. There's no organization that is more valuable and that one can be more privileged than to belong to the church. Some of you are aware of the value of companies that are increasing, that are traded on the stock market these days. The stock market is reaching record highs. And maybe you even think to yourself, what a wonderful thing it would be to be a stockholder in a company like ExxonMobil or Apple Computer. What a wonderful privilege and how valuable that would be. These are billion-dollar companies, and those who own shares in them probably are millionaires. And then you need to say this morning, in thinking about the church, there's only one organization, one institution in all the world about which you can say its value is measured in the shedding of the blood of the Son of God. And only one institution about which you can say membership in this institution means I'm a friend of God. I have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and fellowship with His saints. So you don't have the gift of prophecy or healing. You're not the eye. You're not the toe. You compare yourself unfavorably to another man or woman in the congregation. Remember this. You are a blood-bought member of the church in the body of Christ. That's better than being a billionaire. And better than owning company that is traded on the stock market. You belong to Christ's church. But then what about the difference? Those verses that we read emphasize that the Spirit does give different gifts. We find that again in verse 19 here in the chapter. And if they were all one member, where were the body? We see there are different members, different positions in the body, and different gifts. And we see that also in 29 and 30 where those questions are asked. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer is no. No. Not all the same. There are some men, some women, some children who have prominent places in the church, and some who have more prominent, and some who have less prominent, and some who have more, and therefore some who have less gifts. Two things that we need to consider this morning. One is that in the communion of the saints, we are called to be content with the place and with the gifts God has given. You believe that this morning, don't you? God has given you the place you have in this congregation, in His church. He's given you the gifts He is pleased to give you. Just as it's wrong to be discontent, to be jealous, if you don't have as much money or as many possessions as you want, so when it comes to your place and your gifts in the church, it's a sin to be discontent, to be jealous of others. And then, in the second place, you and I need to say, and remember, that gift was given to the body. You're not an eye. All right, then remind yourself of this. Tear that eye out of the body. What good does it do to that eye to see all by itself? And really, tear that eye out of the body. The eye can't see. It will die apart from the body. That eye sees as part of the body for the sake of the head and the hands and the feet and all of the members of the body. And so it is in the church. And so I need to remind myself, and so you need to remind yourself. And don't say to me this morning, well, it's easy for you. You're the preacher. You have a prominent place in the church. Of course, you're never dissatisfied or jealous of others. I only have to say one word. Professor. Yes, I can become guilty of being jealous of their gifts and wish I had them. But then I need to remember the gift to the church that God gives us men who have their mental and spiritual abilities. The church needs those men. God didn't give those men those gifts for themselves, but for all of us. And what a blessing that is. So you see the other members' gifts. Don't be jealous, but see that those gifts are for the good of the church. God always gives the body what it needs. And that's what we need to remember too now is, we're conscious of the fact this morning that we're fewer in number than we were a couple of months ago. And we think, the Lord has taken members of the body away. Now what? Are we a malformed body? A body with missing parts? And the beauty of it is that the Holy Spirit works in every congregation, supplying everything that congregation needs to be a body. And maybe that congregation only has 30 members. Maybe that congregation has over 600. God tempers that body together to be a full and complete and well-functioning body of Jesus Christ. But now, let us hear the Word of God this morning, as it admonishes us with regard to the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, to use them for the body. We are still sinful. We have a sinful flesh that doesn't love Christ, that doesn't love His church, that doesn't want to be a part of the communion of the saints. So we have to fight against sins. We have to fight against sins of discontentment. We have to fight against sins of jealousy. We have to fight against the sin simply of laziness sometimes, to be active and to be part of the communion of the saints. You have the duty here, set forth by this Lord's Day and by the Word of God, to recognize the place God has given you in the church, to occupy that place, and then to use that place to be active in the life of the church. Don't use the excuse, "Well, I don't have the gifts that others have." Let them be active. That's the flesh speaking, if you speak that way with regard to your life in the church. And think about your body. It doesn't work this way, does it? That you say to your pinky, you don't have the power that some of the other fingers have. You don't have the ability that some of the other fingers have. You know what, pinky? I might as well tape you to another finger. You don't really serve a function in the body. Or maybe I ought to remove you altogether. No. You tell your pinky, you're in the body. You occupy your place and you need to function in that place. Well, that's what God says to us as members of the church. You're in the place that I've put you. And in that place, you need to be active in the body of Christ. And then too, we need to be careful not too quickly in the flesh to say we're too busy and we don't have time for the communion of the saints. Now it is true that there are some circumstances that some find themselves in that they have to say, I don't have the ability to serve as an office bearer in the church. I cannot be an elder or a deacon at this time. There are some circumstances where maybe because of age or because of illness, a man or a woman is going to say, I can't be busy in certain activities of the church. You can't expect me to be at Bible study. You can't expect me to visit the sick or to bring meals to other people. I just can't be part of the church in that active way. But we need to be careful that we actually have good grounds for saying that we don't have time to be busy in the life of the church, and make sure that it's not the flesh that is speaking when we say we don't have time. And that it's not the flesh saying, I'd rather have time for other things than the communion of the saints. I'd rather have time for watching television, or going golfing, or shopping, or being busy in the hobbies and the other pleasures of life. If we're in that kind of a circumstance where we aren't very busy in the life of the church, and we can see that there are many other things that we're busy in, then if we say we're too busy, the Word of God says this morning, that's right. If you're too busy for the life of the church, because you're busy in all kinds of other things, you are too busy. This isn't an option. This is a duty and a calling of love. I will be active in the church of Jesus Christ. And then we need to be careful too that we don't give in to that excuse that the flesh likes to use. The other members, they're at fault. I don't have much to do with them because they're not very kind to me. They don't seek me out. They're unattractive. They're unpleasant to be around. Then we need to hear the Word of God saying to us this morning, the other members, and what they do or don't do, and their attractiveness or their unattractiveness, does not change the calling. You have been planted in Christ, and in His body, you need to serve the body. And then, in addition to that, we need to be reminded by the Word of God not to think about others and what their calling is. Maybe they haven't been as kind or as accepting or as hospitable as they ought to be. The Word of God speaks to me. My calling is to be kind and hospitable and accepting of the other members. Maybe that will bear fruit in the other members being more friendly to me. But let's remember, it starts with my calling, not the calling of others. And then let's take note of the duty here that we have to be humble, to readily and cheerfully employ our gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. This takes humility. This takes the ability to say, the other members of the church are worth it. The other members of the church deserve my service for their sake. It's never appropriate in the church. Let's take that to heart. For any of the members to compare themselves to other members and to conclude those other members are not as important as me. Oh, we may see the differences in the church and appreciate and be thankful for those differences. But so, you're an eye, and the other person's a toe. What are you going to say? Because I'm an eye, I'm better and have no need of the toe? No. If you're thinking along the lines of the Word of God in this Lord's Day, you're going to say this. We're one in Christ, members of the same body. And for Christ's sake, that other member is worthy of my love and care. Is this the kind of communion that we have as a congregation? If it's not, then the Word of God to you and me this morning is repent. Love Christ. Love His saints. If it is, then the Word of God to you this morning and to me is continue on loving and serving Christ and His saints. And rejoice, for this is evidence that we are indeed the Church of Jesus Christ and His Spirit is dwelling in us. But let's make this more personal this morning. You ask yourself, and I'll ask myself, do I occupy the place Christ has given me in His church? Do I hate sin and live in holiness and in communion with the other members of the church, using my gifts cheerfully and readily for the sake of the other members of the church? And if we see that we've been making sinful excuses, see that we have given place to the sinful flesh, let's repent, confess that sin this morning. And then if we see the grace of God working in us that we do love the church, well then rejoice. You rejoice and I rejoice. Because that's an assurance to us that we can say, I am and forever shall remain a living member of the Church of Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, bless Thy Word to our hearts this morning, that we may flee from all sin and live in holiness, and flee from the sin of pride, flee from the sin in which we cause division, or in which, because of laziness, we're simply inactive in the life of the church. Grant, Lord, that we may be renewed by Thy Spirit to love Jesus Christ, to love the other members, even in this congregation. Build us up in our unity and peace, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.